Welcome back to another episode of For the Love of Group Fitness, another mini-sode. I'm your host, Ansi Yeo, and today I invite you to come with me and deep dive into a critical issue within the fitness industry. It's toxic culture. As a lifestyle strategist for fit pros, I believe it's essential to address the negative aspects of this industry to promote a healthier and more balanced approach to fitness and also to life. So let's begin by exploring what I mean by the toxic culture in the fitness industry. I've been in this industry for over 30 years and I absolutely love it. I love what it does for the people in our classes. I love the ripple effect of that. I love how lives are changed, whether it's our participants or those who are teaching. I love the friendships that have been made over the years. I love how music has the power to move not just our bodies, but also to lift our spirits. I love the positive impact it has on mental well-being. You know, there's just so much to love about the industry, and yet there is an undercurrent of toxicity that permeates the structure on which this industry is built. Many years ago, I was lecturing at a university, and I remember a student wanting to look into the prevalence of disordered eating amongst instructors. I thought it was a great idea, but we couldn't get it off the ground. We just couldn't get it off the ground because instructors didn't want to complete any questionnaires and all sorts of other things. And so the student ended up looking into a different topic instead for their dissertation. I also remember times when I was told I had to lose weight. Now, bearing in mind, this was many, many years ago. I was in my 20s and I probably weighed around that time 52 kilos, and I was told at the time that I needed to lose weight. There really wasn't much to me at all, like you'd blow and I'd fall over, right? But then also, if I remember correctly, in that year, that same year, I was told then to put on weight by somebody else. I've also been told to get a tan so I would look healthier when I'm presenting on stage or on film, you know, or I was told to get leaner, even though I was probably weighing 55 kilos at the time and more ripped, right? It's crazy. And this is on top of my teenage years when I trained in a martial art, Taekwondo, where I competed in the 40 to 44 kilogram weight category. Now that is light. That is light. I think I was 17, 18 at the time. I naturally weighed around about 47, 48 kilos in that period of my life. But if you know anything about martial arts, it's a little bit like boxing, where there are weight categories to make it fair. And we already had someone who was closer to the 50 kilogram mark. So for me to be in that weight category and lighter was not to my advantage at all. You want to be heavier. So I was told to keep my weight down and move to the lower category and stay at the 44 kilo mark. So I'm not a stranger, you know, I wasn't a stranger to manipulating my body weight when I was entered the fitness industry. But, you know, coming back, you know, I digress slightly, but coming back to the group fitness presenting world, it wasn't just me, you know, it wasn't just me. And if you look at sport, there are specific certain sports, there are advantages to manipulating your weight, because as I said, you know, it's dangerous, right? If you have someone who are completely, you know, 20 kilos, 30 kilo weight difference, doing full contact, you know, fighting with each other, it's not fair. So there are, you know, and boxing the same. So you have to have certain, you know, rules and regulations, for want of a better phrase, where people are categorized by how much they weigh. Not in the fitness industry. You know, it's like, really, it took me a long time to get my head around it, and I really don't think I have. You know, so over the years, I've heard presenters. So I'm not talking about instructors per se. I'm talking about presenters who were told that they had to look a certain way or they wouldn't get the job. And this was also, or sometimes it wasn't even said, but it was implied. And this also applied to not just the existing presenters, but for presenters want to be presenters, want to be trainers, with certain fitness brands. And there was this unsaid requirements that, they needed to look a certain way. You know, if your face didn't fit, wasn't so much your face didn't fit, well, partly your face didn't fit, but if your body didn't fit, you didn't fit at all. It wasn't about whether you were good at your job or not. So this toxic culture really, often glorifies unrealistic body standards. It promotes comparison and competition. It fosters, disordered eating and poor, mental health. For those that are up front and center, in the presenting world, it's even more apparent if they are sponsored by a clothing brand. More so, would I say more so these days than back then? Probably not. So what ends up happening is that the environment, that the presenters find themselves in is one that's very pressured. They're pressured to sacrifice almost their mental and physical well-being to attain unattainable goals, goals that were not healthy. And if I look at how I've, and I can't speak for the dance world or anything like that because that wasn't my background. My background was martial arts. Where weight was a thing from a safety perspective, but in the fitness industry, right? And I think I'm a relatively strong person, and I'm very much, I do what I want. I've always pretty much done what I want in life, and yet I had in the past succumbed to these requirements. And it's not healthy and long-term, there are issues with your weight if you've been manipulating your weight artificially, right? This culture breeds, it's a disregard for individual needs and health, because then what ends up happening is people go on a diet, they go on crash diets, they start taking supplements, they start taking dangerous substances and pill popping, right? And it's true, it happens. On top of that, there's plastic surgery. So aside from having a boob job, I even know of presenters with pec and calf and ab implants, for their chest, for their calves, and to have a six pack. There's a silicone implant, so it perpetuates the myth that worth is tied to appearance. And this leads to body dysmorphia and disordered eating patterns. And worst case scenario, actually eating disorders. And I can't even imagine the long-term effects of having, these types of plastic surgery, where why can't we just be happy with our bodies regardless of shape and size? And with the advent and presence of social media, I feel this only amplifies the toxic culture. Now, I love social media. It's a space where I've made many connections around the world. People I've never met in person, and yet we have this wonderful online relationship. And I hope that one day I get to meet a lot of these people, right, around the world. It's helped me keep in touch with family and friends from years ago, and it's helped me with my businesses. I'm not going to deny that. There are pluses to social media, but with any creative invention, there comes a downside, and it has become a double-edged sword. So in the past, pre-social media, it used to be the high street magazines, right? And the models that were used, and there was a big kickback about why aren't there models that are normal, that represent normal person, instead of using, images and models that are, veer naturally on the thinner side, on the lighter side, etc., right? So back then it used to be that, but then with social media, where we can share photographs and videos, etc., social media's ended up fostering unrealistic comparisons and a constant need for validation through likes and followers. and companies may offer sponsorship deals based on someone's social media presence and account size, right? Influencers, you know, whether you're a real influencer or you've ended up being a career influencer because of social media, you know, these people can negotiate massively lucrative deals based on how many followers they have, because that one post on Instagram, for example, is prime real estate for a company looking for exposure. And as if this isn't enough, there's the pressure of marketing niches by the big brands, such as targeting specific age groups, you know, targeting the millennials or Gen Z. And I completely understand, you know, we have businesses and we understand the marketing need of having a niche. It helps to clarify our messaging, the look and feel of how your brand comes across. However, the ripple effect of this could mean that sections of the population outside of whatever that niche is for the company is sidelined. So if, for example, we're targeting Gen Z, then everyone else outside of Gen Z, if you don't look the part, your face doesn't fit, your body doesn't fit, then you're no longer fit and you become sidelined and you get dropped, right? So what can we do? What can we do to combat this toxic culture in our industry? Firstly, be visible and use your voice. You know, sometimes not saying anything because you don't want to rock the boat actually doesn't help the situation at all, because these companies and these brands and this culture will continue to pervade. And by not saying anything, we're not helping those who are voiceless. We're not helping, you know, shift the paradigm. We're not helping to change the culture. So be visible, use your voice, share evidence-based information, educate, share your viewpoint, your story and your journey. Because, you know, in this online digital world, it's so easy for people to feel alone and isolated. And people need to know that they are not alone, that they share the same journey that you have too. And I'm not saying tell your story and your viewpoint for attention or to get more likes or followers. Do it because you know that it will make a difference in your world. And if people turn onto me and say, well, it, you know, what's one, you know, little me, what's that going to do with the, you know, the toxic culture of the whole industry? It makes a difference to your community, right? You may have heard me talk about the story, or you may have read it or come across it, you know, the starfish, a little boy on the beach, and the beach is littered with starfish, and he's going along and he's picking up one starfish carefully and putting it back into the ocean. And this person's watching this little boy do that and said, why are you doing this? Like this, you know, it's going to take you forever and you're not going to save them all anyway. And I'm paraphrasing now, you know, and the little boy thought about it and he goes, but it made a difference to the one that I saved. And so that is the mindset I really, truly believe that we should have. You know, if by sharing your story, it impacts one person, you don't know what that ripple effect is going to be. So do it rather than sit on the fence, you know, or go along. I mean, I don't know if this is worse or not, to go along with the narrative because, you know, you're afraid that you will lose the job, right? You're afraid that you're going to be sidelined. You know, so what? We're talking about the mental well-being of the industry and of the world, right? And this is not a good culture to have. So speak up for what is right. You know, start looking at your own personal values, right? Are you so easily swayed by the media, by the big brands, by sponsorship? Secondly, look to build a supportive community. Right. Not only do we want to create safe spaces for our class participants where they feel accepted regardless of their current fitness level, their body shape, their cultural background, etc., but we also want to create safe spaces for us as fitness professionals. You know, there's some work being done. There's loads of organizations out there doing work on this, you know, and that's the thing, is that everyone's doing their bit. But if we all do our bit, you can say, well, why don't we everyone get pulled together? It doesn't matter. The fact is, there are people out there championing the mental well-being of the fitness industry and the fitness professionals. And it's great. So we should be out there supporting them, sharing their content, sharing what they have to say, right? Create safe space for the instructors in your area. Be the one that takes the first step, right? Build it and they will come. You know, together we need to encourage a sense of belonging to help combat the feelings of isolation that often happens, that often arises in toxic environments. And this leads to how mental health is often overlooked in the fitness industry, especially the mental well-being of fitness professionals. Who's actively listening to us and our struggles? Who's promoting self-compassion and encouraging balance in our career? You know, we do it with our participants. We hold space for our participants, you know, and we pride ourselves because our participants that come week in, week out, you know, class after class over the years, and you know, we see them, you know, blossom. We see them become more confident. You know, we post about work-life balance and taking care of us, you know, taking care of yourself. Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for yourself? You know, whilst it's easy to say that we need to shift the focus from external validation to internal growth and self-improvement, most of us will admit to appreciating some external validation, not just from our clients, but also from management and the industry as a whole. So as I wrap this mini-sode, I probably had a little bit of a rant there, right? Consider how you can lead by example and influence positive change. You know, it's okay to embrace vulnerability and authenticity. Sharing our own struggles and growth journeys, you know, whether it's in your classes, whether it's on social media, whatever channels you're on, you know, face-to-face or online, sharing your own struggles and growth journeys helps to humanize the whole fitness experience and life experience. You know, it means taking rest days, advocating for proper nutrition, and demonstrating self-care for and with our class participants. I can't tell you had the number of times I've jumped in a car with a fitness instructor because they're giving me a lift somewhere, you know, and I've done it myself where I've been teaching back-to-back classes and, you know, lots of classes throughout the week, that my car is a tip. You know, it's got unwashed protein shakers. It's got, you know, empty packets of crisps and sandwiches and stuff because people are eating on the run. And then on social media, you're talking about food prepping and everything else. You know, I mean, good on you for doing food prep, right? Absolutely. If you are doing that and you're listening to me at the moment, great. Not everybody has that time. And if you're being honest, as a fitness professional, there have been times in your life where that has not been our priority. Okay, so, and yet you're talking about it and verbalizing it, you know, rather than actually just being honest. And I know for me sometimes, yeah, I enjoy cooking. I don't love cooking. Some of you will know that. You know, I can cook and I enjoy cooking when I have to, but I would rather spend my time on other things. I would rather spend my time on my businesses. I'd rather spend my time, you know, getting a massage. I'd rather spend my time doing my yoga practice, etc., than spend hours, etc., in the kitchen. It doesn't even matter. You can say you can prep in half an hour. Do you know what? No. But then that doesn't mean to say that I would neglect my diet, right? So I can still respect myself enough to look at ways where I can get proper nutrition in without the need of actually cooking, right? Or I'm not saying I don't cook at all, but you know, you get what I mean, right? So, you know, this toxic culture in the fitness industry is a multifaceted problem that requires a collective effort to address. I will continue to use my platform to advocate for a healthier and more inclusive approach to fitness by providing a safe space for fitness professionals and through the mentoring work that I do. By fostering supportive communities, prioritizing mental health, and leading by example, we can reshape the fitness industry into one that truly empowers individuals to thrive. You know, it's, if not for us, think of it, right? If you don't, the whole life mask thing, you got to look after you in order to better serve those around you. And to serve those around you, we have to get to a point where we are brave enough to take a stance and voice our values and what's important in this world. So as always, thank you for listening. I appreciate you spending time with me, and I encourage you to join in the conversation and be part of the change. So until next time, stay mindful, stay balanced, and stay strong.